God's grace, mercy, and peace be upon each and every one of you. From my perspective, one of the people that had the greatest impact on my spiritual life was my grandma Omi, better known as Margaret Naomi. But she taught me a lot about what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. She often said she prayed that one of her grandsons would one day become a pastor. Little did I know at the time, she was actually praying for me. But one of the things she taught me was a reverence for God's word. And one of the ways she shows reverence is, I'm not doing it right now, you never pile anything on top of the Bible. The Bible's always on top of every pile that you have. And unfortunately, this night, Grandma, I'm sorry, I've kind of broken that. But my grandma had a big impact upon me. Her Bible and her devotional material was always on her desk. Her Bible was quite tattered from years of service. But she left me a number of books, and one of them is Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life. And on the inside of it, it has her name, and then it says, "This is Jeff Bloom's when I'm gone, Grandma." And so it ended up in my possession along the way. But I wonder, for each of you, who is someone who has had an impact upon your spiritual walk? A parent, a grandparent, perhaps a Sunday school teacher, or maybe humbly a pastor has had an impact, hopefully in a good way, upon you. Which brings me to the epistle lesson that I chose from, that I read from 2 Timothy. It's actually a letter that's written by the Apostle Paul. And in that letter, he speaks of a young pastor by the name of Timothy, who had been raised by his grandmother and his mother. And he writes these words: "How from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice had committed a lot of time and effort to teach young Timothy the faith. In fact, in Jewish custom, that was usually done in their fifth year. Now, you guys are eighth graders, long beyond the fifth year, but the application's still the same. There's that obligation or that desire to teach the faith to those who come after us. And so Eunice and Lois catechized him. And the word catechize, I looked it up in the dictionary, it means to instruct someone in the principles of Christian religion by means of question and answer, typically by using a catechism. Ironically, catechism is a book of questions and answers. And so therefore, it's safe to say this year will be filled with many, many, many questions, to which I'm going to give you many, many, many answers. And then it's your obligation to give me the correct answer to the right question when I ask it unto you. But the question you probably want to ask tonight is, why? Here I am, Pastor. It's the first of 30-some-odd Wednesday nights I'm going to waste at Emmanuel. I'm going to gather here, and I'm going to hear you drone on for hours, and I just want to know why. Why do I have to be here? Now, if you look at your catechism, it defines what confirmation is all about with these two short sayings. Confirmation is a public rite of the church preceded by a period of instructions, a la confirmation class, in which baptized Christians learn about the confession, life, and mission of the Christian church. Good so far. And then they tack on a little bit at the end that says this: the rite of confirmation provides the opportunity for individual Christians relying on God's promise given in holy baptism to make a personal, public confession of the faith and a lifelong pledge of fidelity, which means faithfulness to Christ. And I dare to ask the question, can you rightfully make a personal and public confession of your faithfulness to Christ if you don't know God's word? Well, the answer would be no. It would simply be impossible. So a big portion of what we'll learn is those six chief parts of the small catechism, which ironically are taken from God's word, where Luther has pulled them out for us. But the reality is, confirmation is all about getting thoroughly acquainted with what Paul called the sacred writings, or we would call the Bible. But why? Why do I want to get acquainted with the Bible? Big deal, I got it. It's a good reference book, but why do I got to be acquainted? And Paul says to be wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What does a wise for faith through faith in Christ Jesus mean? It means, for one thing, you're going to memorize the Ten Commandments and the meanings. Because it's good for you, yes. But more than that, the Ten Commandments enable you to look at your life in the mirror of the law and realize your need for a Savior. And so there'll be just a wee bit of memorizing along the way. But you're also going to confess the Apostles' Creed. And through that confession, you're going to learn about who your triune God is, Father being the creator of all things, the Son who's the redeemer of all, and the Holy Spirit who's the quiet one that often he gives the sanctification of our lives. And then you're going to learn how to pray the Lord's Prayer. You say, Pastor, I know how to do that. But it's the perfect prayer, and Jesus taught us how to pray it when he was asked, Lord, teach us to pray, and so therefore we will learn it. And then I'm going to ask you to remember your baptism. Why? Because through your baptism, where that water and word were mingled together, God has given you a boatload of promises, and I want to review those and enable you to understand better what God has given unto you. And then we're going to practice confession of sins. And you're going to learn through the process that it's not only about confessing, but it's about receiving absolution through your pastor or through another as from God himself, which is also amazing. And then lastly, you are going to participate in the sacrament of the altar. And I think for most confirmands, that's what they're looking forward to. I finally get to drink wine at church and nobody's going to stop me. Is that what you're thinking? Well, I would be if I was an eighth grader. But the bottom line of it is you're going to learn that in with and under that bread and wine, you receive the flesh and blood of Jesus, not only to forgive your sins, but also to give you life and salvation, right? So, not everybody in this room is going to be in confirmation class. Some of you have already run the gauntlet of junior confirmation, and you're thinking to yourself, praise be to Jesus, I don't have to memorize stuff anymore. Well, thanks be to God for that. But even in spite of all that, there's some good words from Paul this evening for you. He says, for all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. It really comforts me to realize that the Bible is God's word, and so therefore what is found in the Bible are God's promises, not cleverly devised schemes of sinful man. That's comfort for me, number one. And the second thing that comforts me is that God inspired these men to write down some valuable teachings about who Jesus is and how much he loves you. And through this word, he also is able to refute our errors and rebuke our sins, which is also a good thing. And then on the flip side, he sets it straight. And lastly, he uses that word for training and instruction and discipline. And that's kind of where the confirmation class is at tonight. But as you can see, there's a lot to learn when it comes to the Bible, right? One of the things I want you to realize is that in this book, there's 66 different books, and they were written over a span of 1,600 years by 40 different writers, ranging from farmers to peasants to fishermen and even kings. It's an amazing book. And within its pages, there is a claim that it's the authentic, intentional word of God over 2,700 times. In this book, it's been sold 9 billion copies, published in the last 50 years, in 2,303 different languages in all 7 continents. So as we begin our trek, it's really a study of what God's Word is and what God does to us through that Word. But Luther had a great quote. His quote concerning the Bible was this: no man understands the Scriptures unless he is acquainted with the cross. And so as we begin our confirmation journey, I'm going to get you thoroughly acquainted not only with the Scriptures, but also with the one who died upon the cross and all the gifts that he died to give. Amen? Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.